Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and today I am only joined by Christian Hoffer. Megan Peters is enjoying the early holiday, and so we will see her next week.
Hi, yes. Christian. Hello. You may notice that I am wearing a very appropriate holiday sweater.
That is it? Is that a Pokemon Center holiday sweater, or is
It is indeed. This was one of the new sweaters that just came out this year, and so I saw it, and since I can never resist a good Bulbasaur shirt, even though Charmander gets like center position, and we all know really Bulbasaur should be here. Charmander can be like somewhere over here, and Squirtle can be like on the back.
Oh, just the pure shade that Squirtle gets will always be funny. I love it. If you are new to the show, welcome. This is a talk show about Pokemon and everything that it entails, really. The games, both the mobile and console variety, sometimes the board game variety, the anime, the manga, and the stuff. If you like Pokemon, congratulations, you have found the right show to watch or listen to, because we are live on Twitch. If you want to catch the show a day early every Wednesday at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, you can go to twitch.tv/comicbook, get in on all the action, and have some fun. So it's a bit of a, you know, it's a slow-ish week, obviously, with the holiday coming up this week. So we're going to have a little bit of fun when we get to our deep dive, because there is a very funny story about, you know, that went viral, and it's ridiculous, but also fantastic. So go ahead.
I was about to say, it is definitely a good capstone to 2020. Let's put it that way. Like, a weird year and a weird Pokemon story to end the year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's just jump into the news first, because I was actually kind of excited by this. If you have no plans for New Year's Eve, well, Pokemon Go has stuff for you.
Yes, they are doing a year-end celebration. It starts at New Year's Eve at 10 p.m. And it features Slowpoke wearing 2020 glasses. If you evolve Slowpoke into Slowbro, his glasses also evolve into 2021 glasses, which I thought was kind of goofy and adorable. Some other Pokemon that will be appearing are getting Pichu wearing one of those like little top hat, party hat things. Also Pikachu and Raichu will also have those. Some previous year party hat Pokemon, including the infamous Wurmple, will also be getting a party hat and will be making a reappearance. And yeah, it's just a nice goofy way to celebrate the end of a terrible year. Also, you get twice as much candy and stardust when you hatch eggs, and incubator distances have been halved, which, more good news. So hatch lots of eggs, get rid of 2020, and get some Wurmples.
Look, you know me, I love my custom hatted Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So I am all about this. I do like the Slowpoke and Slowbro kind of evolution thing. I think that is, clearly you're going to have to make sure you get one of each. Mm-hmm. But no, I think it's fun. It's nice to have a little event. I mean, a lot of people are going to be at home, and so why not just be able to do something a little fun. While you're waiting for the ball to drop. Is there a ball this year? I have no idea.
I actually don't know that. I was thinking of that too, because we're, my wife and I are deciding if we're either even going to bother staying up until midnight. it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, this year just is the worst. Yeah. And speaking of why not is also involved in the event.
Good.
Yeah. So, you know, nice. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. I like when they do these little events. I'm surprised that it is as short as it is, because it's only like a 4 or 5 day event. And that kind of kicks off like a trend that's running into 2021 with Pokemon Go, because they announced a bunch of January stuff too. And all of those seem to be like pretty limited time.
So why don't we run into what that is?
Yeah. So, you know, they did their normal 2020, you know, they do like a big info dump where they kind of announce all like the underlying stuff. They announced that a bunch of new, a bunch of old legendary Pokemon will be coming back into raids for like a week at a time. Starting with Ho-Oh will appear starting January 1st, followed by a Genesect holding a burn drive, which means it knows fire type moves. Then you're going to get Heatran, then Kyogre and Groudon, and finally a surprise Pokemon, likely one of the Gen 6 legendaries, will finish off the month.
Which Gen 6 legendary do you think it's going to be?
I honestly don't know, because there's not very many of them. There's only three.
No, there aren't. Yeah.
Although Zygarde has multiple forms, so maybe they'll start off with like, you know, doing like a Zygarde 10% or something like that. Because I'm guessing that's how they're going to string that out.
They'll stretch it out, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Also, we're getting a new Mega Evolved Pokemon, which they didn't announce. They're going to start doing those season of celebrations with the spotlights on the different regions. The first one of those is going to be the Unova celebration event. And finally, they're doing a new type of challenge that will be added to certain events called collection challenges. And that seems like a way to basically give players something to do, especially as I think more and more of these events are going to feature Pokemon that they've already caught.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. For anyone who is listening, if you have my friend code, invite me to those Ho-Oh and Groudon raids, because I would like them. So I will take any chance I get to try and grab those. So Christian, you too.
I will.
Keep I know. I've got 40 Ho-Hos and 20 million Groudons. Blah blah blah.
I have. Yeah. I think I have shinies of both of them.
Do you really?
I'm pretty sure. Let me double check.
What does a shiny Ho-Oh look like?
Gold. Yeah, I do.
Is it just all gold?
Yep. So it looks like. Looks like that.
Oh, look at that. All right.
That's so, yeah. Cool. So I got shinies of both of those. And that's, yeah. So I don't, I may do some of the Groudon raids. I'm trying to think if there's a legendary that I don't have of these ones. Because I don't, I even have a Heatran. So these actually, I've got all of them. I probably will go for the Kyogre and Groudons personally, because, both of those are pretty solid Pokemon to have, and mine are pretty underpowered in the grand scheme of things. So I'll dabble in raids this month.
Nice. moving along to new kind of Pokemon stuff. The picks for Pokemon plush never cease to amaze me. They are always ones that you're just like, when they get announced, you're like, oh, wow, that's brilliant. But probably never ones that would show up on anyone's list. And so this time we get Appleton.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty cool.
It looks adorable. Everyone is in love with those.
Yeah.
It cracked me up. Like the internet collectively went like, oh, my God. That is adorable.
Like I said, it's one of those things that until they announce it, you go, yep, nope, I need one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that, and I was like really annoyed because I think that's the Shield exclusive.
Yeah.
I was like one of the last Pokemon I got in Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I was just like, I was like, I want this one. Why did I get stuck with the flying apple dragon? I want the dopey apple turnover dragon. Like, this is ridiculous. Give me my freaking Appleton.
It's basically like, it's like the Eeyore of Pokemon, which is kind of amazing.
I will say that that entire line, I feel, is like one of the most understated in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Like, it's very easy to accidentally skip over because it's like only, you can only find it in one spot. They even have a Gigantamax forms that, you know, people don't really talk about, but I absolutely love those Pokemon.
The thing about this one is it is life size.
Yeah. It's so huge.
It's like honestly, if you have a small like dog or something, it's probably bigger than that.
Jim, you just mute. There we go.
I don't know. There's something going on with my mic, so I apologize to everyone, and really more to producer Brittany, who's going to have to edit this one. So I'm sorry.
Let's keep going on because the show's live. Christian did a interview with one of the folks from CGC who, if you've been listening to the show, you know that they have just recently got into Pokemon card grading. And so they are very much the new kids on the block. But I think the interesting thing that I've come to learn about their process is it's very different from PSA, who is, for all intents and purposes, seems to be the gold standard for, you know, card collecting, and then there's Beckett Grading Service (BGS), which is also out there. So when CGC started doing cards, everyone's like, "Oh, what's this? You know, new trash." Without like realizing that CGC has actually been around doing grading stuff for a very long time. Like they are the go-to when it comes to grading coins or grading comics. And it's like them getting into cards makes a ton of sense. And so why wouldn't they? And so Christian had the opportunity to talk to someone at CGC who's in charge of a lot of the grading there. Christian, why don't you kind of talk about some of the things that you learned from the interview?
One of the things that, you know, I thought was really interesting was, you know, one, we talked a little about a bunch of stuff. We talked about the rise of modern Pokemon card grading. Because, you know, like the first question I asked, and that was the thing that I'm really interested in, is there any point of getting like non-vintage cards? So like, if I don't have a Charizard first edition shadowless, like should I get the cards graded? And like, you know, mind you, he is a representative of a grading company. But you know, we talked about a bit about, you know, like modern actually is a very strong market in and of itself. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interest in it, you know, and also, you know, keep in mind, you know, me and you, the reason why a Charizard first edition holo foil, blah, 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 goes for $180,000 is because that's a card that we have a very strong connection to it. Because when we were kids,
mm-hmm.
those modern cards, the ones that, you know, kids are picking up today, will elicit the same sort of reactions in 20 years from now. So I thought that was interesting. I like that CGC goes and talks about, so let's say you have like a weirdo misprinted card, which is like a niche market, which is funny mm-hmm. because like, I remember when I was a kid, those sort of cards were like the holy grail because they were all like one of a kind, you know, misprints and stuff like that is stuff that you can't find. The representative, Charlie, went and like talked a little bit about that like niche market. And actually I think I had to like pull that out of the interview, and I'll, you know, kind of do a second article about it here in the next week or so, because the interview is super long. It was like super informative. I thought I was really interested in it. And also the other thing I realized was that he explained, a lot of people do not get their Pokemon cards graded because they're hoping to increase the value, or like, you know, I'm going to get the card graded so I can sell it. You know, that's not why the majority of people get their cards graded. And I thought that was fascinating because, you know, considering I've been involved in comics for going on 20 years now. and, you know, during that time, CGC, you know, they are like the premier comics grader. And mm-hmm. I've only seen people get their comics graded because they want to, like, try to up the value. And that's how I've always associated grading things. And, you know, so for him to say, like, no, if you have a card that you, like, really love and it's, like, a $10, even if it's, like, a $10 card, you should get it graded because of it's cheap. And
there's that the preservation factor, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's also that. So Leapbird Pokefan in the chat says, you know, the problem is that there's too many rare cards. I don't think that they will feel as special in 20 years as the original cards. Now, I agree and I disagree a little bit with that fact where, you know, I mean, look at, it's one of those things where, you know, anytime that we do an unboxing of those cards and, you know, for those sets, there are always one or two that come out of even the modern sets that still hold on to relative value, right? So just thinking back to Champion's Path, where everyone was going nuts for, I mean, it's a Charizard, right? But there's the VMAX, there's the VMAX Charizard, and then there was the shiny Charizard. And I think those cards will still hold value. And then for Vivid Voltage, a lot of people are still going nuts for the VMAX Pikachu card, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are ones that are modern that I think will continue to hold their value, because I think even if you look back, I mean, there was kind of like a dark period for the TCG where it feels like no one was really, you know, collecting, or there wasn't a lot of interest in it. But I guarantee you, like, those circ numbers are probably lower than we all expect. And so in 10 years, there are going to be cards that pop up in those sets that we're probably not even thinking about now that will drive kind of that interest in the collectability market. Now, obviously, you know, if there are like super popular Pokemon that kind of pop up out of nowhere from some of the new sets and it's their first card type of thing, like that kind of stuff it's all a game. Like, I don't want to say it's all a gamble, right? But it's all, it basically is. It's, you're taking the chance that some of these cards may or may not, you know, go up or down in value. But, you know, at the same time, like, if you're a collector, it doesn't matter. You're going for the collecting, you know, collectability aspect of it. I have a regular Charizard, not Shadowless, not first edition. But it, you know, it's in okay shape. Like, if I sent it in to go get graded, it'll probably come back at a six maybe, but I hold on to it because, I've had other Charizards in, you know, in my collecting time, but this is the one that I pulled out. It's the one that I remember pulling from a pack, and it's the one I never want to let go. And I don't, but I, you know, I also don't want it to get in any worse condition. So that's probably why I'm going to end up sending it off, but go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to point out, and this, something that I actually forgot to throw on the schedule, or on our script. And I was going to like bring this up anyways. It's like a surprise thing. There was actually probably the biggest Pokemon trade in TCG history, went down in the last like couple of weeks. And it involved somebody basically trading off their collection of Charizard cards for a Pikachu Illustrator, which is like commonly like seen as like one of the rarest and most expensive cards in the world. The Charizard cards that got traded, I think there were like a total of 8 or 9 of them. And they included like your typical like, here's my super rare, like PSA 9.5, you know, Shadowless Charizard. But it also included other Charizards too. You know, it included the first secret rare Charizard. Yeah. It included the, like, you know, first shining Charizard. It included the last Charizard ever printed by Wizards of the Coast. You know,
Charizard in there too.
Yeah. So, like, all those Charizards, you know, like all those different cards. Now, could they, you know, are those things going to sell for $200,000? No, they're not. But, you know, they were certainly valuable enough for someone to take the time to collect them. They were certainly rare enough for that, you know, both this, you know, these two ultra collectors both assigned some sort of like value to them. And, you know, they were included. That was part of this prized Charizard collection. And I think that, you know, stuff like that's going to continue too. Like, you know, I think that as time goes on, you know, we'll see more people who are like, okay, this was the first ever Inteleon, You know, and like, you know, they're not going to go for like big bucks, no. But, you know, like, I still think that, you know, as this market continues to evolve, you know, people will start looking at these like second and third tiers. And that's the thing about vintage. We did the interview not too long ago where it's like, okay, how do I get into this like Pokemon card investing, so to speak? And, you know, he was like, yeah, don't start off with like your freaking Charizards, you know, find a card that has personal value, you know, connection to you, and try to fill out that collection. And especially as vintage is becoming so and so like unreachable for like the average Joe, you know, there's going to be things that fill in that gap, because Pokemon cards aren't going anywhere. It is the second most popular card game in the world. The only thing that's more popular than it is Magic the Gathering. And even that, you know, and they appeal to two totally different types of players. You know, Magic the Gathering is popular because it is literally, you know, the only like super competitive actual card game. You know, like, you know, yeah, there's your like Hearthstones and your Legends of Runeterra and stuff like that. And those are popular in their own ways, but those are digital card games. You know, Magic still, even though Magic has Magic Arena now, you know, Magic is still very much like the only real card game that's all about like, you know, having those cards and stuff. And even that has like evolved. And I feel like we will eventually see, we're starting to see like aspects of it with these like shining sets and like the Champion's Path and stuff like that, where we're going to like see more and more of these, like they have what are they called? Like secret layers, I think is what they're called, and stuff like that. Like Magic has these like mini sets. And I think that more and more, you know, I would not be surprised if Pokemon starts doing more and more stuff like that as well. Like, you know, cause like imagine like, for instance, if like the Pokemon card company, the like, Pokemon trading card game had like a Jinji Ito set, like, you know.
Well, I think too, the thing to remember is, like, if you're looking to get a 10 or a 9.8 or whatever Charizard, like, at this point, good luck. Or you know, be prepared to spend a lot of money. The thing you know, when we spoke to Jeremy Padower and even in your interview, I believe, like, you know, lower grade stuff is now going to become the more common stuff that you see being traded around in, you know, wherever you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And so... it's continuing to be a very interesting thing to watch, because now more and more, a lot more booster boxes are apparently popping up out of nowhere now that the craziness, or you're just starting to see those sell for crazy amounts. So anyway, like we have to, gotta take a break. But when we get back, we'll go into our deep dive, where someone named their child after a Pokemon. So, we'll be back after this break. And we're back. Sorry.
Not at all awkward for the Twitch.
For those watching, it's like, is there going to be a break there? It's for the audio version, obviously. And so, okay, Christian, why don't you tell us, give us a little backstory on what this is.
So not too long ago on Reddit, somebody posted on the TIFU subreddit, which means today I effed up. Basically, this person talked about how his sister was having a child, and they start talking about unique names. His sister mentioned like, oh, it would be cool if we could come up with a name that started with Z that was unique. And, he said like, ah, yes, you know, what about Zacian? That means sword in Japanese. And, that is what the child ends up being named.
Which is, that's...
And
there's a child out there who is going to get called on in class, Zacian whatever. And, some people will be in on it and some people just won't.
I'll be honest. Like, you know, there, so
it's not the worst. It's not the worst one.
Yeah, I agree. It is not the worst. name in the world. Like, you know, like Zacian reminds me of kind of like a knockoff Aiden. And, you know, I say that with all due respect to any of our listeners who are either named Aiden or have a child named Aiden. You know, that's like the really popular, like kind of like name where it's like 15 years ago, or I guess 20, 25 years ago. I don't know. What is time? Would go like Aiden. And now it's like everyone's kid is named Aiden or some variation of it. And so like I could see like someone go, oh, Zacian, that's basically like Aiden. Only with a couple of letters changed. So, like,
chat. Not... I want the chat to start dropping in what they think are probably some of the worst names that you can be for. I mean, I already saw Lickitung.
Lickitung, yeah.
That's awful. I don't think anyone in their right mind would name someone Mr. Mime, but it is totally possible. But I mean, like, I mean, there's plenty of other off. Like, who's going to name their? Well, actually, no. Now that I say it, I was going to say, like, who's going to name their kid Scyther? And you know what?
That
not the worst one.
that I could absolutely see.
Wormpull, you know, like, Wormpull is a pretty terrible one. Shuckle, yep, Raven Shuckle. Kid, that's a good one. Shuckle is a an awful one.
No, you know what? Like Shuckle, I hate to stereotype, but Shuckle totally sounds like something that someone in like deep Appalachia would be named. like, you know, that I can see Shuckle.
We've got Ditto in there. Snorlax also pretty bad. I just think like Snorlax Viscardi. Nope, just doesn't ring. Wooloo would get so picked on. I mean, look, Wooloo takes enough. I don't like. I would not ever put that on. Shuckle is growing on me. I know. Look, it's these things happen all the time, right? Like, I mean, you know, people name their kids after video game characters, TV characters, cartoon characters. There are plenty of Gokus in the world. Vegeta, whatever.
Do you remember, like, for like several straight years, like one of the most popular girls' names was Daenerys, and then like the last season of Game of Thrones happens? Like, congratulations, you just named your daughter after a mass murderer, like a fictional psychopath. Like,
right, that's the thing, right? You become at the mercy of you know what the creators may or may not do with these characters, and so I don't begrudge anyone who does this, but like. When it comes to the world of Pokemon, naming your kid after a Pokemon is weird. Now, on the flip side, and I'm curious to see what the chat thinks here, there are a bunch of good options that you know, if you were to come across this a name like this, that I think you know would not be as bad. I think Eevee is probably the closest to like a real name.
No, absolutely not. That's awful.
Like a nickname. It would be a nickname for someone who's named Eve. Just Eevee.
No.
Instead of spelling it E-E-V-E-E, you spell it E-V-I-E. That's totally fine.
Yeah, you know what? For the last like 25 years, anyone with that nickname, you know, has been getting picked on, like in schoolyards across the nation. And I can say this because I know somebody whose nickname is Eevee, and she was absolutely got picked on. You know, she's not, now that she leans into it, I think you know, she's, you know, got a big, like, I'm a big Eevee fan now. But yeah, for a while there, not a fan of that at all.
What would you say?
Cresselia.
Not a bad one. I was getting you said, but that's not a bad one.
Yeah, that's because I think about these things, Jim.
Excuse me. I think another one that I could totally see for like some like just you know someone who just wants who believes that like their kid's going to be grow up to be a strong guy. Onyx, I can see being used
only because that's an actual thing that they changed one letter of. You know that you know that's like you know yeah like. That's like saying like, oh, I'm going to, you know, like drowsy. Well, it's like, yeah, that's because drowsy is a real word. They just changed you know, changed the spelling of it slightly. I'm trying to think of some like other good ones.
I think Rosalia is a
nice
one.
That's a good one. I could see someone making a run with like Gallade or Gallade. Okay. You know, yep. I could definitely see someone trying to like figure out a way around that. I also just thought of another like absolutely terrible Pokemon name. You know, Mamoswine.
That's awful.
I was just like, I was like running through like internal like lists of Pokemon. I was like, oh god, that's horrible. Like, no,
I can see Chansey also being a good one.
Oh, you know, yeah, see, that's
not bad.
That's the issue though. Like, I feel like some of these, like, especially like the Gen 1 Pokemon are almost too recognizable, where now everyone would associate them automatically with Pokemon. Like, you know, Chansey, like everyone would know it's like you named your child after a Pokemon. Like, the key is you gotta do it stealth. You know, you gotta go for like some of the more obscure ones where like only the true hardcore people would know what's going on. It's like, you know, you don't name your Pokemon after like your
this is my son Genesect.
Yeah. that's funny. But no, it's like, it's kind of like naming pets. It always cracks me up. It's like, you one of my favorites, I remember in college we got into this big debate once, and it was like, oh, you don't name your dog Goku because people will know you're like an anime fan. You name him like Yamcha. And it's like, like, why would you do that to a dog? That was like my counter argument. It's like, that's awful. That's the worst name for a dog. But yeah, like, you know, it made me laugh. And then the funny thing was that the writer who wrote this up for our site, he was telling me about it because we were talking about this on our company chat. He was telling me, he's like, he met somebody who had twins and named them after Zacian and Zamazenta. I was like, okay, Zacian, I could see how you could get away with. How do you justify Zamazenta? And it was, they named him Zenta. Yeah. And it's, but at the same time, I was just like, why? I mean, don't get me wrong. I name my children. My children have like the most traditional names possible, you know, to the point where it's like, it's really funny. My oldest is named John, and like, he doesn't have any classmates named John. And it's like, that's like the world's most common name. It's like, and now it's like, everyone's like, oh, what a unique name. What like an old school name. And it's like, it's John.
Yeah. Well, you know what does sound like an old school name that you mentioned? I was trying to think of like what would, if Pokemon was around in like ye olde English time. I could, Absol is definitely a good old timey kind of Pokemon name for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
I do. I like that one a lot too. That's a good one.
Yeah, see, that is a good one.
Yeah. Wow. You came up with a good suggestion there. Everything.
Look, I mean, look, it got spurred by the, you know, your term old timey, and that was really the one that like, that kind of you know, sprung it for me. So anyway, people are naming their kids after Pokemon, and you know, if that's a thing you want to do, there are some not awful choices out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, as always, you know,
name your kid Rotom, right? Like, that's...
I will say this, though.
If you say it out loud, it's not terrible.
If you name your kid Rayquaza, make sure he leans into that. Yes. Or she, you know, yep. I could see Rayquaza could go, you know, either way. But yeah, make sure your kid leans into that. You know, you are a dragon god and deserve to be treated as such. So just remember that. Like, you know, make sure you lean into these things, and also think about what before you name your children... Think of the terrible implications that might have when they are alone on the schoolyard, surrounded by bullies.
Please don't name your kid Garbodor. Please. Please don't. For the sake of us here at the show, please do not do that. So, okay, let's get to the Pokemon fact of the week and get out of here.
So this week's Pokemon fact of the week, we are continuing to move down the Pokedex, and we're on Electabuzz. Electabuzz, you know, once again, Pokedex entries, not super exciting, but it is one of those Pokemon which has an origin in Japanese mythology. Electabuzz is an Oni, which I didn't even think about for a very, very long time. I love Onis. Like, Onis are awesome. And I, in a million years, until it was pointed out to me, I was like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense. Onis are mythological creatures associated with lightning and thunder, and look very similar to an Electabuzz. Oh. Yeah, never would have guessed.
That's a pretty cool one. I'd say I have no idea what Onis are, so that's a
Yeah, no. Well, that's because you don't play D&D with me.
Also, another I was always a big fan of Electabuzz. I think he's got a very kind of cool design. Although, like, it's weird. He's another one of those that, because he comes later in the game, only had a large, you know, just like an evolved form, right? And then they introduced Elekid, which is weird. And then Electivire is pretty cool, but seems like way bigger than, like, I feel like that would be more of like a mega form than anything else. But
I don't like Electivire because it looks so disconnected from Elekid and Electabuzz. Like, Elekid, I can see, like, ah, yes, this is a baby Electabuzz. Like, Electivire looks like an entirely different Pokemon. Like, if you didn't give it the same color scheme, there's no resemblance whatsoever. I have a similar issue with Magmortar. They both of those evolved forms look totally disconnected. And I understand at least with Magmar, it's like, okay, they're taking the opportunity to get rid of his butt head. Electivire, I feel I'm not a fan of that design at all. My favorite thing about Electabuzz is it talks about one of the running themes of this evolutionary line is that they do windmills with their arms to increase their power. And so Pokemon, like, apparently, well, like, Electabuzz is like doing its Popeye roundup, other Pokemon just like walk away. That cracks me up. I saw that. It's like, oh my God, like that does. Yeah, no, I can see that. Just another Pokemon's awesome. Like, yeah, we're done here. Like, you keep doing that thing. It's like, no, I gotta keep on charging up. And it's like, okay, buddy, you do you. I'm gonna do another thing.
Right. Oh man. Well, never a dull moment when it comes to the world of Pokemon. So that's gonna do it for us here today at the show. We hope you enjoyed spending some time with us. I hope you enjoy your holiday time coming up just later this week. So if you want to support the show, number of ways that you can do it. You can tell all your friends about it on Twitter. It really helps us a whole lot. Like, you know, if you don't follow @PokemonPodCB, and you know, please do. And then, you know, when you see us go live, if you can retweet that tweet, or just tell friends about it when shows go live, it really does go a long way. If you have not gone already ahead to write a review on iTunes, please do. 5-star reviews help us out immensely, and if we read them out on the air, when we get back to the office, we're going to send out a whole bunch of shirts, and so we're looking forward to doing that, hopefully sooner rather than later in the new year. Otherwise, you know, just come chat with us whenever you'd like on Twitter. You can find me @JimViscardi.
And you can find me @CHoffersCBus.
And you can find Megan Peters @MeganPetersCB. So make sure you tweet at her and tell her that you missed her. And she'll be back next week. We all will. First show of the new year. Get excited, everybody.
It is not actually, the first. It's not.
It
not
is
at
the
all.
Last show of the year. whatever. I can do math. Well, I hope you guys had a good time. We will see you next week, but right before, on the eve of 2021. Not really the eve, but close enough. Whatever, you get it. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.